Want to open our Bibles this morning once again in 1 John chapter 1. First Epistle of John, the first chapter. 1 John chapter 1, commencing to read at the verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that once again we can gather around Thy Word, and we pray that You'll make it a blessing to all of our hearts. We pray that, Lord, we might be led of Thy Holy Spirit into the knowledge of Thy Word and into the truth of Thy Word, for Thy Word is indeed truth. And we pray that our God, that as we are led into all truth, we pray that Thou will give us the grace and give us the help to practice it in our lives. That, O God, that people might truly know that we are the children of God, and that our lives will glorify our Father which is in heaven, and that through our testimonies others may be brought to know Thee as our Savior too. O God, forbid that our lips and our lives would walk contrary the one with the other. And so this morning, we pray for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Ghost as we open the Word of God together. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. In our meditation of 1 John, we have noticed already, first of all, the pen man, that's John. We have noticed the purpose, these things have I written unto you, and four times that's mentioned. In other words, it gives us a guidance of the purpose of the writing which John has given to us under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And then last Lord's Day, we looked at the person. Because John, speaking about the one that he heard, the one he saw with his eyes, the one he looked upon, and the one his hands had handled. And we notice he was the Word of life. That life was manifested. We have seen it. We bear witness. Show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And then we come this morning to the presentation. You see, it says in verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What is the message that John received from Christ? And having received the message of Christ, he then declared it unto those unto whom he was writing, and to those who heard him. It is indeed this then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, that's how we get our message. We receive it, first of all, from Christ. When we get the word from the Lord, then it is our responsibility, is our duty to make the report, or to make the declaration, or to declare it unto those who have come to listen. It is our duty to preach not the theories of man, but the truth of God. And I pray that God will help us so to do this morning, even to make that declaration, to make that report in the Savior's name. Now let's come to the presentation. What is that which is presented here? What is the message that John received of Christ and then declared unto the people? You'll notice, first of all, it says here that God is light. Then secondly, and in Him is no darkness at all. And I want us to look at that, and then if time permits, we'll move into the implications of that. Because if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, it says we lie and we do not the truth. And so what John is doing here, he's unfolding something to us. He's presenting a message to us. And then he brings the implication of the message. What does it mean to us in practical terms in the lives that we live out amongst the people that we live among? And if we say that we have fellowship with Him who is light and we walk in darkness, well, here's the implication clear. Listen, we lie. It's a lie. We do not the truth. And so I want us to take the step, first of all, this morning as we look at the Word of God and we see the message here, the presentation of the message which Christ gave to John, which John gives to you, and in God's name I presented before you this morning as we would seek to understand it and study it. Now here is the twofold message here. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Firstly, the statement, God is light. Now notice what it doesn't say here. It doesn't say God is the light or that God is a light. It makes a very stark, simple statement. God is light. God is light. In other words, that's His nature. The nature of God is light. If you turn over to the chapter 4 of the same book, in verse number 16 it says, "And we have known and believed the love of God that God hath to us." And then it makes this statement, God is love. Not that God loves. That's true, God loves. But listen, God loves because God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. But here in this chapter 1, he says and makes a statement, a very stark and plain statement. He says, God is light, and then God is love. And what he's saying here is this, you know, there are the attributes of God. And if you get your confession of faith, you will understand and you will have broken before you in the confession of faith to help you in the study what the attributes of God are, things that are attributed to God. But what John's saying is this, light and love is not the attributes of God, they're not the attributes of God, but is the very nature, the very essence, the very being of God. God is light. James, whenever he's writing in the chapter 1, he tells us that he is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. Peter, whenever he's writing in his first epistle, chapter 1, he tells us that he is, in reality, the possessor of light. He brings us into the light, his marvelous light, out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is the possessor of light. Paul, whenever he's writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, he dwelleth in the light, which no man can approach unto. But what John's saying here is something different. He's saying, listen, not only is God the light, and not only God a light, but God is light itself. Light itself. To the heathen, God is a God of darkness, in other words, the unknown God. To the heathen, he's not to be known. He can't be known or loved. He is a God to be feared, not to be awed, but a God to be in terror of. To the philosopher, God is an abstraction. The philosopher thinks God's an idea. To the Jew, he is a God who hideth himself. God not who is light, but a God who is a consuming fire. But to the Christian, to the born-again believer, God is light. He's absolutely free from everything that is impure, everything that is obscure, everything that is gloomy. I was thinking about that statement, you know. Now help me in my understanding of Genesis chapter 1. Do you know that the very first product of divine creative energy was light? You remember there, you open the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You come immediately to verse 3 and it says this, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And verse 4 says, and God saw the light, that it was good. There was the very first product of divine creative energy. It was light. Why? Because God is light. He's the very fountain of light. He's the very fountain of all intellectual and moral light. You know, whenever we think of God as light, we think of God as the omniscient God. You see, because He's light, unto Him all hearts are open and all desires are known. There is nothing hid from God who is light. You may think that you'll hide from God, friend. You may think you can hide your light from God. You may think that you can hide your sins from God, but remember these words. Listen, when you go out into the world this week, and when you're living your life, and perhaps you're doing things in the darkness that, my friend, that you ought not to do, you remember these words. God is light. You turn to Psalm 139, you'll understand that. What that means and the implications of the omniscience of God. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. Why? Because God is light. Friend, there is no darkness in Him, as we'll see later on. And therefore you can never hide in the darkness. You can never hide yourself away from God in the darkness, or your actions from God in the darkness. You can never flee from Him. You can never get out of His all-seeing eye, because He is omniscient. He is the God who is all-knowing. Psalm 147 says, verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. See those lights in the heavens? See those little things that light up at night, friend? You stand and you perhaps try to count, and there's so many in number. You remember this? He telleth the number of the stars, and He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. His understanding is infinite. You know what that means? There's nothing that He doesn't know. He knoweth the very secrets of your heart. Psalm 44:21 says, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. He knoweth the secrets of the heart. Why? Because God's light. God's life. And friend, you only fool yourself. You only make yourself a fool by pretending that somehow that God doesn't know your heart and God doesn't see your heart or God doesn't understand your heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." The omniscient, all-seeing God who is light. In the light of that, I was reading the early chapters in the book of Revelation this week. And do you notice that when he's writing to the churches there in the Revelation, in chapter 2 and verse 2, he's writing first of all unto the church at Ephesus. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, "I know thy works." Go down to verse number 9. "I know thy works." Go down to verse number 13. "I know thy works." Go into the next chapter, verse number 1. "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he, which have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works." The church at Philadelphia, verse number 8. "I know thy works." To the church at Laodicea, verse number 15. "I know thy works." You see, friend, there is nothing, there is no one, but God knows all about us. God knows your life. God knows, listen, God knows your testimony. He says, "I know thy works." He has seen what you've done this week. He has heard what you've said this week. There is nothing, my friend, that you've either said or done or gone, but God knows all about it. The all-seeing eye of a sovereign God who seeth you through and through and knoweth you altogether. Think of it. Luke chapter 12, in verse 6, he says, "Are not five sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" Listen. Did you see the wee birds this week? Did you see the wee birds? Did you feed them? And as you saw them fly there, friend, listen, and you saw them light upon the ground, perhaps even beside you, listen, maybe you didn't even take notice of them. You never even thought about them. Didn't even care about them. Do you know that your Heavenly Father did? Do you know that God noticed that little bird this week? That little insignificant sparrow? Listen. It says, "Not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." I love the way that it's written over there in Matthew chapter 6. And whenever it tells us about the fowls of the air, Matthew 6, verse 26. "Behold, look at the fowl of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." Then notice this. "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Your heavenly Father. Not one of them is unknown to God. Not one of them is forgotten by God. But your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Yes, God is light. God's light, friend. God is light and he knows me. God is light and he sees me. He knows me altogether. He knows my uprising. He knows my downsitting. He knows my incoming. He knows my outgoing. He knows me through and through. What does the psalmist say? He knoweth our frame. And God who knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are as dust.
That's all we are. Listen, would to God that we knew that. When we get carried away and think we're so important, friend, listen, He knoweth your frame and He knows mine, friend, and He remembereth that we're just dust. For He took the very dust of the ground and He made man. Now what does it say in John again? God is light. And there you'll see the announcement as to the nature of God is a revelation, friend. It's not a discovery. Man can't discover that. You can't rise in your understanding to that. It is a revelation of God. And when God reveals Himself, He reveals the splendor and the glory and the brightness of the light shines out. The glory of His presence and the glory of His person. It beams forth as the brilliant light imaginable. Not a bit of wonder Revelation 21 says concerning heaven. Verse 23, Revelation, and the city hath no need of the sun, and of no need of the moon to shine in it. Why? Because the glory of God did lighten it. Why? Because God is light. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Chapter 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Light, you know, brings forth life and growth and beauty. Light cannot create life, but it quickens it. It develops it. It strengthens it. You know, without light, this world in which we live today would speedily become a vast, dreary abode of the dead. But God is light. And the first thing He said, let there be light. But notice the thing that follows on from that. God is light. Here's the second thing. And in Him is no darkness at all. Now notice what it doesn't say again. Notice it doesn't say that darkness doesn't exist. It doesn't say that. Because you and I know that physical and intellectual and moral and spiritual darkness exists all around us. There is an abundance of error. There is an abundance of depravity. There is an abundance of sin and evil all around us today. There is darkness that surrounds us day by day as we live. But notice what it says in the book. In Him is no darkness at all. There's not a spot. There's not an eclipse. There's not a twilight. There's not a light in Him. And as light, thank God, He cannot feel in any degree. Because He is light itself. There is no darkness in Him, but there is darkness all around us. You know, darkness describes the state. And darkness describes the works of man. It symbolizes evil. It symbolizes sin. And you know, the word darkness is found over and over again in the Scriptures, friend, and you should study it. You should study it in the book. What does darkness speak to you of? What does darkness tell us about man's nature, about man's heart? Turn to the book of Romans chapter 1 for a moment. It says there, verse 18, Romans chapter 1,
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which was made may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. The darkness means that a man is vain in his imagination about God and foolish in his thoughts concerning God. Let's look at that. Verse 20 tells us that man's without excuse. Man's without excuse. You know, you're without excuse today in many ways. But man in general is without excuse because the very heavens declare the glory of God. The very heavens, the very works that we see of God's creation that we see about us, friend, declare to us there's a maker, that there's a creator. Man is a fool, vain in his imagination. And he changes the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. That's the corruptness of man's heart. Why? Because he's vain in his imagination, verse 21, and his foolish heart was darkened. The whole universe and its nature declares God. Man is without excuse. Of course, you in this service are totally without excuse because you've heard the Word of God. You come to a Bible-believing church where the Word of God is open Sunday by Sunday. There's never a Sunday past, friend, but this book is opened morning and evening. This book is read. This book is expounded. You have no excuse. And yet you live as if there's not a God. You live as there's not a God that sees you. A God who marks your life and writes up the story of your existence. As if there is not a God before whom you'll stand. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Yes, and the records were read. A God who has recorded your life, a God who knows all about you, and one day will reveal to you, dear unconverted soul, how much God knows about your life, because whenever you stand before Him, the whole record of your life will be read. Every action, every sin, accounted, recalled, you live it over again. Oh, you'll not pass this way again, but your life will pass before you again. And one by one, your sins in the darkness, in the day, God would bring before you. The God with whom you have to do. Yes, He's light. And in Him there's no darkness at all. Man is without excuse. It says they, verse 20, the last, so that they are without excuse. Well, that means no place to hide. No place to hide. No ignorance to plead. Because the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Look at the little baby that mother brings into the world, friend, fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by whom? By God. By God. And as you stand at that little cot side, friend, and you look into the face of that little child, you stand back in amazement, so fearfully, so wonderfully made. Remember, that creation of God speaks to you of the Creator, the God who made and made you too.
And you're without excuse. But notice verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Yes, although they have a knowledge that God gives them life, and God cares for you, and God provides for you,
and that God rules everything in an orderly and lawful fashion, giving purpose and meaning to life itself, but they do not glorify Him as God. They don't worship Him as God. They don't serve Him as God. Neither were thankful. Not even thankful for what God has given to you. You know, every time we go into the hospital and we see a person that's laid aside in sickness, friend, and you're able to walk out, and they are left behind, you ought to thank God. The mercies of every day that God has given. And yet, not even thankful. Don't express appreciation. Don't magnify God. Don't praise God, the one who has given all of this. And yet with all the bountiful evidence before them of a bountiful, merciful, sovereign, almighty God, what does man do? What does it say here? He becomes vain in his imagination. And his foolish heart is darkened. What does that mean? What does all that mean? Vain means empty, futile, senseless. He sees no sense in that. He doesn't see God there. So full of himself. Doesn't see God. Just walks away, sees just nothing there. Vain in his imagination, it means in his thoughts, in his reasonings, in his conclusions. So when men push God out of their minds, what do they become? They become void. They become empty of God. God's not in their thoughts. Why? Because they're filled. Their thoughts are filled with other things. Their own little God. Has God not said, thou shalt have no other God before me? So what happens to them when they become vain in their imaginations? Listen, their foolish heart is darkened. Their foolish, senseless, without understanding heart is darkened, blinded, unable to see. They just walk in darkness. They just walk in darkness. Yes, they might be brilliant. But you remember what Paul said to young Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You, friend? Is that you? Somebody's talking to you. You're full of knowledge. You're so impressive. You have it all there. You can put it all together as far as your mind's concerned, but God's not there. God's cast aside. You're vain in your imagination. So full of yourself. But the Holy Ghost says, your foolish heart, vain imagination, but oh, what a foolish heart. and your foolish heart is darkened.
Darkened. And that's where you're walking, friend. Walking on there in the darkness. They know not, neither will they understand. But they walk in the darkness. Oh, listen, they wouldn't agree with you to say they're walking in darkness. No, no, they're walking in knowledge. There's so much knowledge of life and of living and of science and all that the world holds. God says they're walking in darkness. Why? Because, friend, when a man leaves the light, when a man leaves God out, and God is light, then that man is in the darkness of his heart. The darkness means evil behavior. The darkness means evil deeds. John 3, verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. But men loved darkness. You love your darkness. You see, friend, you really wouldn't want light, would you? Because the light would only expose to you the rottenness of the life that you're living. And you don't want it. If you got light, it would only show you the corruptness of your heart. It would only show you the foolishness of your life and the emptiness of your shell. It would just show how vain and empty and nothing and worthless and useless your life really is without God. You don't really want light to show you that, do you? You just want to stay alone, just as you are, because you think that's life. And the Bible says, men love darkness. Love it. Rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. That's why they love it. Because their deeds are evil. Evil. In verse 20 it says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why you don't want the light. That's why the majority of people don't want to darken a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. It might disturb them somewhat. The light of the Word of God may chain in. But he that doeth truth, verse 21, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Time's away this morning, 1 John chapter 2, and just draw this final word to you. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. You see, the darkness means evil behavior and evil deeds. He that saith he is in the light, and he hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I want to tell you, friend, this book is written to believers. This book's written to believers. And here's a challenge of evil behavior and evil deeds of those who profess the name of Jesus. Verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Believers walking in darkness.
evil deeds because they hate their brother or their sister in the Lord. Listen, in him is, or in him is light. That's concerning Christ. It says in John 1:9. In him is light. And thank God, that light was the light of men. That light that every man that cometh into the world. But God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee this morning. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt open this word to all our hearts. Help us, our God, to come as children who know and love thee. And say, Lord, please teach me from thy word that I might not walk in darkness. Give me a love in my heart, not only for thee, O God, and for thy work, but for thy people. Take away everything in my heart and everything in the hearts of your children this day that would, O God, hinder or mar thy blessing. O God, take away the darkness. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light of thy word. We thank thee for the light of thy word. And we thank thee that the light shines into our hearts and reveals our hearts as seen by thee. We think of those that are unsaved and they're walking in their vain imagination and the foolishness of their heart. O God, I pray in Jesus' name, open the eyes of the sinner and show them their sin. But show them the lovely Savior. That's the answer to it. Bring them this day to Christ for Jesus' sake.